Right. Well, what I want to share with you are godly resolutions, making resolutions, setting goals. And hopefully, when you do this, it's not necessarily something that you're thinking about, but it's something that God, our Heavenly Father, is working in your heart to do. And I know we live in a world full of temptations and influences, and we want to fit in many times, try to fit into the world and not be a religious outcast or different kind of people because we believe in God. But really what counts is fitting in with our Heavenly Father. And so we want to make appropriate resolutions or goals. And this is a good thing to do. It's always great. I think God, as He works with us, is inspiring us to do certain things. I know many times maybe He is talking to you and blessing your life. But I got to think also that He has some wonderful things for us to do for Him. And we're in the family business, and so there's a job for everybody in the family. And because we're born again of God's Spirit, we've got Christ in us, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit, we have an opportunity as we walk and talk with the Father is to make godly resolutions. And when I think about godly resolutions, there's a song that comes to mind. Anybody guess a song that's familiar that we sing or used to sing in our song books? Number 47, does that ring any bells? Well, I know we haven't used our song books for a while. I am resolved.
Oh, no longer to linger.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. How else it goes?
Things that are higher.
Things that are higher.
Nobler.
Nobler. Yeah. I have allured my sight. I will hasten to him. Yeah. All right, so. Now, I don't want you guys singing this song now all through fellowship. But you got it going in your noggins, huh? But as believers, it's a privilege to make decisions that God does influence our hearts with. And I want to share a record with you in Daniel. So if you got your Bibles, go to the book of Daniel. It's somewhere in the middle of the Old Testament, or a little bit after what? Jeremiah, Ezekiel? After Ezekiel, Daniel? Yeah. Chapter 1. In light of talking about fitting in and trying to be a part of the culture and go ahead and roll with the temptations and the influences of the world, this certainly was something that Daniel and three other guys were challenged with. And so let's take a look at the record here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with parts of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So this Nebuchadnezzar's thinking, well, I'm going to get the folks that are real smart, the brains of Judah, and get them to help me out in my efforts in my kingdom. So he was looking for, verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So he's going to fatten them up, so to speak, for 3 years. You know, as far as animal husbandry and stuff like that, they fatten up the animals, but they only do it a couple, 3 weeks many times, just to fatten them up so when they sell them, they get the best price. But here the king was 3 years, and they were going to eat the best of the best food that even the king ate. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, and of Mishael, and to Azariah of Abednego. So you've heard of these guys before, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with Daniel, the four guys, okay? So, hey, what a, you know, here you're captured, you're taken out of your land, you're taken to a whole new culture, new language. This king recognizes that you're pretty smart, and he's going to feed you the best of the best. You go to the, you know, 3-star Michelin restaurants, and you're all set. So, you know, if I was those guys, I'd kind of, all right, this sounds pretty good. But Daniel, verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. But here Daniel's thinking, you know, I don't want to, this stuff's probably got pork and other things I'm not supposed to be eating. I don't want to eat the king's wine. Don't want it. He really took a stand against this. So, verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, this is God's working. And this is what God can do for us, for you, in situations where God can open up you to be favorable in life situations. I mean, he obviously did it for Daniel here to bring tender love to the prince. I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? The prince of the eunuchs. So, verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. The king's going to see that you're going to get skinny and you're not well-rounded, and he's going to take my head off my shoulders. So he was very concerned about this. And so what did Daniel do on this? Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. All we want is some veggies.
Kale.
Ooh. That's it. Water and veggies. And so then, let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. I mean, he's making a deal, very logical, sharp, being wise in handling it here. And so, so he consented, verse 14, to them in this matter, and prove them 10 days. So Daniel and the guys were eating salad for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm. That's a miracle.
That's a miracle. Especially eating kale and the veggies, huh?
I'd be skinny by then.
But you would be in great shape, though.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God's really honoring Daniel and these guys for taking a stand. And rather than, you know, fitting in with everybody else, they took a stand on what would God want us to do. And so at the end of the days, verse 18, that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, how many times?
10 times
better than all the magicians, and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So here they took a stand. God honored them and blessed them, and they were much, 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 much more smarter than all the others. And it's interesting that it points out here that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. And as we understand, it was probably Daniel with his 10 times more wisdom and knowledge taught those astrologers in that land some of the great truths that God wrote in the stars and the coming Christ and some of the things that would happen that eventually led to the Magi coming after the birth of Christ. So I think this is a good example as far as they set a godly resolution. Not to eat the king's meat to fit in, but to eat the veggies and the water. And God blessed them 10 times more. So, good thing to do God's will rather than man's will. There's two more verses I want to look at. I think these are great verses that can help our heart, our mind, when we think about, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do in 2025? And so in Philippians, let's take a look at that first. There's a number of verses we could look at, but Philippians 4:8. It says here in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, you know, we can get our hearts thinking those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, of good virtue. And as we're thinking along those lines, God can work mightily in us. And another verse I think that really helps set our minds to set godly resolutions is Romans 12. I think you're all pretty familiar with these two verses here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. Now, this is the encouragement, according to the mercies of God, that we are living sacrifices. God doesn't need a dead sacrifice. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was the only one that needed to die for all mankind. As a result of what he did, we live. We are living sacrifices. Okay? Be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, what is the will of God for you? Well, it's certainly the truth of God's word, but even specifically in light of what God would have you do in the family business, he can be specific with you so that you would know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life in the fellowship of the saints. Okay? So think about these things as you talk with the Heavenly Father this year in 2025, and be ready to hear from your Father on what you can do for this year of 2025. Okay? So, Father, thank you that we have the privilege to be your children in these times, that we can hold forth the words of life, that we can speak your word, that we can pray for people, that we can help people in need, and the love of God be manifested in our everyday life. And that people will ask us, hey, what's going on in your life? Why are you so blessed? Why are you so happy? And we'll have the privilege to share the gospel, the good news with them. So I pray for all the believers here that we can have great expectations from you, Father, as we look to this new year and fellowship with you and do the things you've called us to do. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen.